Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's get it, man. Just like that, 23 days in to the year 2025. It's Thursday. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I will have a 5-hour KM to AM later tonight, and then we'll do the same thing Friday night into the weekend. Appreciate y'all, man. I love so many of the WFAN listeners that listen at this hour. Like last week, I did 6:30 to like 10. It's a different vibe. There's different callers. It's a different approach. But there's just something about being like a night crawler. There's something about being a night owl. There's something about, you know, bringing my topics, my style to air at this time that I'm even allowed to do. You know, I always hear people say stuff like, oh, you'll be on during the day. And I'm like, I'm not tripping off that because I like having my own solo show. I like being dolo. I like being able to do what I want to do. You know, being on during the day obviously is anyone's, you know, hope and dream and goal in radio. Like I'm sick right now. I'm not sick, but I have a cold right now. You know, my sleep isn't great, but like I'm blessed. Being 23 days into 2025, you know, to think about this being the fourth year that I'm doing this, thinking about, you know, now we're getting even closer to spring training and then baseball coming back. And man, I got some things in the works. Real G's moving sounds like lasagna, so I'll keep them under wraps. But man, I appreciate y'all. I wanted to send a shout out to the people that never call, the people that just listen during this hour, the people that, you know, just absorb the show. Man, I meet so many people that are like, yo, I don't call or I don't interact or I'm not on Twitter, but I listen and I appreciate that. There's so many people that are so outspoken on Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, whatever. They're a loud minority. You know how you'll hear the silent majority? No, they're a loud minority. But there's a silent majority of people that listen to this radio station. Like, think about this radio station existing in 1987 to now. We're 2 years from 40 years. There's a reason that this station exists like this. There are people that listen, and it's just a part of your day and your night, your work day, your off day. You know, somebody's tuning in right now at 12 o'clock that might just be getting in their car, and they want to, you know, just hear sports conversation. So 888-808-1019. Let's get back into it. I have a few other things for you. You know, if you look at tankathon.com, which I look at every day, Tankathon actually has a Twitter account that I follow as well. And they put out updated NFL mock draft. And the updated mock draft has Shedeur Sanders at number one, Abdul Carter at number two, Cameron Ward at number three. So that would put Shedeur Sanders in Tennessee with the Titans, Abdul Carter in Cleveland with the Browns and Cam Ward in New York with the Giants. Now, I know there's somebody listening that's like, yeah, yeah. But when I saw that today, I'm like, okay. I quote tweeted, I said, they're assuming the generational talent Mike Borgonzi spoke of is Deion's son. There was a report out, and if you go to NFL.com or anywhere, NFL.com has the article. It says, Titans say they won't pass on generational talent with number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft. If you listen to my show, and I told you how the Jets interviewed Mike Borgonzi and how he came from the Chiefs, and the biggest thing that the Titans were looking for was somebody to revamp their scouting department, someone to help them in this upcoming draft, having the number one overall pick and a top pick in every round. He's already on the job. He took that job. He wasn't waiting on the Jets. And Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker, won't technically be making the pick. He indicated that the final say will come from new general manager Mike Borgonzi, but Brinker did make one draft-related guarantee when it comes to the top selection. And that's the quote. We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. We won't do that. Now comes the question, will there be a generational talent available at number one? Of course there is. What are you talking about, will there be? We already know. In my estimation, when you're talking about generational talent, which I think I saw Morash say, like, generational talent has been thrown around more and more since Tommy Lugauer started using it. And I'm like, not really. But in this echo chamber that is WFAN with listeners, and there being a drop where Tommy says, I'm a generational talent. And, you know, his whole WWE, you know, him kind of like turning into positive Tommy and that whole thing. Generational talent is a phrase that we hear on WFAN now every hour. But when you're talking about a generational talent, what does that mean? You know, I just heard about the new generations, right? My son was born in 2023. I think he's Generation Alpha. And now it just cut off after 2024. Any kids born in 2025 through, I don't know when, are going to be Generation Beta. It's basically saying a talent that doesn't come around in a while. Yeah, Generation Beta is 2025 to 2039. Gen Alpha is 2010 to 2024. Gen Z is 1995 to 2009. Millennials are 1980 to 1994. Gen X, 1965 to 1979. Baby Boomers are 1950 to 1964. If you needed an update on the generations. Shohei Ohtani is a generational talent. Some people are calling Travis Hunter a generational talent and the Shohei Ohtani of football. Nah. But he is the Heisman Trophy winner, and he is super rare, and he is somebody that we don't see in many generations. A guy that's a two-way player at the college level that can play corner and wide receiver that is unknown in the NFL. We don't know what side of the ball he's going to play in the NFL. And I think whoever drafts him should be trying him out at both in training camp and seeing where he sticks. 888-808-1019. I think when the Titans are talking about passing on a generational talent, they're not talking about Shedeur Sanders. There are folks saying that Shedeur Sanders isn't even a first-round grade at quarterback. So how could they view him as a generational talent, but then other scouts are saying he's not even worth a first-round pick? I think those are haters. I think Deion attracts a lot of hate. When you're great, you get hate. It's part of it. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. Rob Sala said that. Anyway, Abdul Carter is also a generational talent as a pass rusher. Seeing what that kid did this year, he's different. I don't think they're looking at Cam Ward as a generational talent at quarterback. And since they've drafted quarterbacks in the last couple drafts, from Will Levis to Malik Willis, are they trying to take another quarterback, or are they trying to take a quarterback in free agency? Bum, bum, bum. I was reading another article on NFL.com. Six free agent quarterback teams that can't let six free agent quarterback teams can't let hit the open market this offseason. That's written wrong. But anyway, they will hit the open market. Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, Marcus Mariota, Tyler Huntley, Snoop Huntley, as he's so famously called now. I'm like, when does this guy become Snoop? Jacoby Brissett, Jameis Winston. I think there's a good chance one of those guys, and they didn't have Justin Fields. They didn't have Cooper Rush. They didn't have Trey Lance. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have some of these other guys that we've named. But one of those guys is going to be a Giant. And also, what I'm talking about at the top of the draft is going to affect the Giants. 888-808-1019. This is where we start to get Giants calls after celebrating Aaron Glenn and talking about the Jets. The Giants need to draft a quarterback, and if you're hearing that the Titans are going to take a generational talent, it is not either one of the quarterbacks, because all we've heard the last couple weeks is, oh, this isn't a great quarterback draft class. There's two quarterbacks, and oh, if they came out last year, they wouldn't have been in the top three, four picks. So if the Titans are hinting at taking a generational talent and not passing on one, they're either going to take Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders, or Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. So then, let's say the Browns, who, if you've been following me and my disdain for Deshaun Watson, he's done. They need to draft a quarterback. They need to start over. I think that they will end up taking one of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. And a little birdie told me that Deion does not want to go to Ohio. Deion does not want his son going to the Browns organization where so many young quarterbacks have died off. I think there's a real chance here that we could be talking about the Giants drafting Shedeur Sanders at three, and we gotta kind of get, I think, a little bit better with like talking about the idea of that happening. I think it's a good thing. I think he's more talented than the quarterbacks that we've seen. I think that him and Brian Daboll, you know, I think Daboll will get him right. I think that Joe Shane and Brandon Graham have both been out. Brandon Graham is the defensive tackle for the Eagles that got hurt, and now he's just hanging around the team. Sports brain, too many names. But if you're picking up what I'm putting down, the Giants aren't out of getting a quarterback because they're picking at three, and they also might not have to trade up to get into the top two picks. I can see the forest through the trees here, where if the Titans don't take a quarterback, then one of Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders could fall to the Giants, maybe both, maybe even Cam Ward. But I just think that the Browns, I don't know if the Browns would take Shedeur if Deion doesn't want his son there. I think they'd be more inclined to take Cam Ward, and then we could be looking at Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants and that number two jersey selling for the Giants. He's a star. And he's already rich. Kid's already a multimillionaire. He's got expensive cars, watches. He's not going to be blown away by New York, the media market, the money. And clearly he already has Malik Nabers' phone number. They were spotted out, I don't know, somewhere on 14th Street, something like that, throwing a football around. So I think there could be a reality very soon where Shedeur Sanders is drafted by the Giants, and then one of Justin Fields, Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, Tyler Huntley, Marcus Mariota. I'm not going to say Sam Darnold. Maybe even Russell Wilson could potentially be here in East Rutherford as like a mentor, stopgap quarterback for X amount of games. I also throw Cooper Rush into the mix. I'm not going to throw Trey Lance into the mix. There was a post that I had in my notes recently, like a list of all of these quarterbacks. So anyway, 888-808-1019. Going to sprinkle in some more topics, but I was just connecting the dots on all of that with the quarterbacks. And this is a quarterback-driven league. You know that. Ben Johnson today came out and talked about this is a quarterback-driven league. I'm actually, like, Zoo and Fleegs are switching. I'm going to send Fleegs the audio so you can hear what Ben Johnson has to say. And then I'll talk a little bit more about the last four quarterbacks left standing. 888-808-1019. Let's take another call. Todd is up in Connecticut. What's up, Todd? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I was just listening. Good. I was just listening to your show on my way home from work. And I wasn't a big Shedeur fan. I don't watch a lot of college football. But I believe if Daboll and Shane, with their process, what they went through, Jaden Daniels, if they believe in Shedeur, I'm all for it. I just would rather, if they draft him, have him sit at least half a season, maybe behind. I like Justin Fields, but I would like somebody a little more seasoned, like a Mariota, in my opinion, or even the redheaded Andy Dalton, like somebody a little older that has some experience in multiple different systems that can maybe bring Shador along. That's just my take on it.
I don't think they're going to throw him into the water. I don't think they're throwing him into the fire. I think that they know how careful they have to be with the quarterback that they pick. Like, he has to succeed for their own lives, for their own livelihood, for them to keep their jobs. So I don't think they're going to be in a rush to throw him in. But I do expect them to bring in. I think the quarterback room next year, if you want to say Marcus Mariota, for example, it could very well be Marcus Mariota, Shador Sanders, and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, which I'm not on the Tommy Cutlets train either. I know he knows the system, but I just don't want them to do what they did to Jones back when they had Pat Shurmur. Jones had a lot of turnovers his rookie year, but statistically he had 24 touchdown passes, over 3,000 yards passing, and then they fire Shurmur, bring in Joe Judge, and totally...
I think now with Mara having that experience and speaking to patients and having Shane and Daboll survive the last 2 years, I think they're going to see it all the way through, and they're not going to pull the rug from under Shador Sanders and say, oh, we lost, we only won 5 games this year, we're firing these guys. They're going to understand that this quarterback's got to develop. And the only way he plays is if, like Jaden Daniels was drafted, everybody thought like he had to play, Marcus Mariota was there. He played all the preseason games and left no doubt. If Shador Sanders somehow plays and leaves no doubt, then maybe he starts week one. But I think they're going to have some kid gloves. They're going to have some extra care with him.
Yeah, I think, if we can get a Jaden Daniels,
I wouldn't say, thanks for the call, Todd. I wouldn't say there is a Jaden Daniels. Even in next year's class, maybe. 888-808-1019. I see the Giants having a quarter. And I say Tommy Cutlets because I think, I'm not sure of his contract, but I just think, where else is he going to go? I think he's the only one left under contract. And I think he's familiar with the team. And guys like him in the locker room, and he knows their system, good practice quarterback. You don't have to be on the train of him playing, but he could certainly help a young quarterback in the building. Marcus Mariota, maybe. I'm trying to think, has Mariota from Tennessee to Atlanta to Philly to the Commanders, like, has he cross paths with Brian Daboll? No. I can't call who it's going to be, honestly. But I would think it's someone like a Mariota that can run a little bit, because Daboll likes to call design runs for the quarterback. I don't know. I'm kind of stumped on who else it could be. I don't think it'll be Sam Darnold. Too much money for Sam Darnold. I think the Raiders might go ahead and spend the money on Darnold because they're not going to be able to draft a top quarterback. Russell Wilson wants to return to Pittsburgh, and I think they might do that. Maybe Justin Fields. And even though Justin Fields is younger, so what? A one-year deal for Justin Fields? Justin Fields plays, and I mean, he's got the athleticism and the arm strength where I think you could figure out how to win some games with him, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy. Okay, the next part of the quarterback conversation that I wanted to bring up, it's around the quarterbacks that are left. And right, you're speaking about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels makes the least money out of the final four quarterbacks. Front Office Sports put out a tweet with the average annual salaries of the final four quarterbacks in the NFL playoffs, the conference championship round. Jalen Hurts is making $51 million a year. And I think he's the worst of the bunch. And I don't want to say worst. I've been very hard and critical on Jalen Hurts. I don't see it sometimes. But when we talk about leader of men, winner, He's that. He wins football games. Guys rally behind him. He had a beast of a run, a 44-yard run to kind of break that game open last week. I just in the passing game, he's missing something consistently for me. It's not consistent enough. But either way, he's a $51 million quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, who's already the GOAT, looking for three in a row, looking for his fourth Super Bowl ring. He's making $45 million a year. Josh Allen is making $43 million a year. And Jaden Daniels, on his rookie deal, playing the best football in this playoffs, playing better than all of these guys, he's making $9.4 million. And the 33rd team put out a QB power rankings. And they ranked Josh Allen number one, Mahomes number two, Jaden Daniels number three, and Jalen Hurts four. And I honestly think Jalen Hurts is going to be compromised with the knee injury, and they're going to ride Saquon. And what you'll see from Jalen Hurts is like quick game out of the shotgun where he can just catch the ball, stand, throw a slant, throw a stop. You know, they're not going to drop him back. They're not going to have him. Maybe if they have him under center, it's to hand off to Saquon. I don't see them doing too many play actions, no rolls. They don't want him to be a sitting duck in the pocket. They're going to try and get the ball out of his hand quick. And it's going to be cold. It's Saquon's game. So, yeah, it's also the quarterback's game. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to Ben Johnson. He is giving me weird vibes. Ben Johnson has now gone from Detroit to Chicago. There was a video of him clapping, like entering the building or something. It was super weird. It was like, I don't even know. It was like in the facility, he's just like by himself clapping. And he kind of addressed the people working in the building, I guess, once it was signed, sealed, and delivered. It just was so fast. I read something that there was some issues between him and Dan Campbell, and he was good as gone. I do think, and Bill Belichick spoke on this, the NFL does have to set up some type of rule where these coordinators, as they're interviewing for these jobs going into games, like there's got to be something set up where they can't have so much of a distraction. Because everybody was thinking that as the Lions were losing that game, it's like, okay, well, your offensive and defensive coordinator are doing coaching interviews, and those hours take away from hours of prep. Those hours take away from film study, from, you know, time with players. They're already 1 foot out the door, and we kind of knew they were definitely leaving this time around because they had consideration last year, but they ran it back when they fell short in the NFC Championship. This year, they don't get to the NFC Championship. They fall short in the divisional round, and those guys are gone. And Ben Johnson, from Saturday, Sunday, boom, Monday, he's in the Bears facility. Tuesday, he's in a Bears hat, and he's talking to the media today. It just happened so quick. I'm going to see if Fleegs has the audio from Ben Johnson. I just sent him. Because it goes into what I'm talking about with these quarterbacks. Ben Johnson wanted to coach Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson took that job knowing that they have the number one overall pick at quarterback, knowing that that kid's going to be their quarterback for years to come, knowing that he's a special player. And we talk about it nonstop, over and over again. The quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. I'm sure when C-Mac gets on tonight, and I'll be listening to his show till 3, 4 in the morning till I fall asleep, when it comes up, talking about Jaden Daniels, when it comes up, talking about this draft, when it comes up, talking about Tommy Cutlets or Daniel Jones or the fact that Drew Locke got starts. The quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. You need a quarterback if you plan on winning in this league. The Jets have to figure it out. The Jets got to figure out whether they want to continue with Aaron Rodgers, whether they're going to go with Tyrod, whether they bring somebody else in to compete with Tyrod, what they have in Jordan Travis, if they want to take a flyer on a quarterback late. It's a quarterback-driven league, and it's no coincidence that, you know, in this Final Four, you have three of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and the guy that's not making any money was the number two overall, could have been the number one overall pick in the draft and was the Heisman Trophy winner last year. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call. This is not a call on the quarterback conversation that I'm having. I'll keep adding and developing that. But, You know, earlier we were talking about Pete Alonso, his situation. They have the Amazing Day lineup. They have the promotional items that you can get at Citi Field. And it's just crazy to think that, you know, they have all the players that you can see at the Amazing Day media or the Amazing Day Fan Fest. They have all of these bobbleheads and jerseys. And Pete has just been erased from that because he's not a Met right now. He's a free agent. Zach is in Massapequa on the Fan in New York. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Keith. What's going on? Love the show. Really like your takes on basically every sport. I'm a huge Mets fan. I've emailed you a little bit, gone back and forth on Twitter a little bit, but nothing but respect. Huge Mets fan. Love the show.
Thank you.
Anyway, my main point. So, the Mets. I really think there's no better option for Pete Alonso than the Mets, and there's no better option for the Mets than Pete Alonso. I really do think that at this point, you know, Pete Alonso's got to step in and say, hey, Boris, you work for me. Let's get a deal done here. I really just want to know what I just finished a hockey game, so I haven't really been listening. I'm on my way home from it. But I would just like to really know your take on the Pete Alonso situation. And maybe if you want to shed a little light on the Markstrom injury with the Devils tonight, I got him in fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. Thanks for the call, Zach. Markey is going to be out for a little while. The last thing I read was just like, you know, we're trying to be optimistic as fans, as Devils fans, but even on ESPN an hour ago, yep. Devils goaltender Jacob Markstrom expected to miss time. And I just always lean into, like, hockey guys are tough, and they're so vague about the injuries and, like, miss some time. How much is some time? But the way his leg got, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. It's after a four-game losing streak, the Devils win a game. I remember saying this about the Jets. You know, Jets win a game, they lose a player. So what did you win? It's like you take a step forward and another step back. But, yes, with Jacob Markstrom, that collision in the crease, I don't know if it's a knee, if it's a sprain, if it's a tear, but he will miss some time, and the team expects to have a clearer prognosis for him in the following days. Now, with Pete Alonso, I feel like we've gotten to the point where it's like, if there is no better offer financially, don't just leave to leave. Don't just leave because of ego, because of hurt feelings, because of disappointment. Don't just leave because you didn't get what you want and now you're sour. It's not over till it's over. And like, it's literally not over. This could go into spring training, as Scott Boras seems to lead a lot of his clients into spring training lately. The Blue Jays signing Anthony Santander, and I don't expect them to be trading Vladdy. I don't know what they'd be willing to put up for Pete Alonso or where they play him. But it's been floated out there that they're interested. So I guess they're interested till they're not. The Angels is another team that I talked about before with Manasian and Boris. You know that they've got each other's numbers. They're probably in each other's recent texts. Boris has an office in their building. You always see him at games there. And that's a place where they sign players. I actually saw Tim Anderson signed a minor league deal with the Angels. And I'm just like, Tim Anderson, I don't mean to laugh. I'm rooting for the brother, but what a fall from grace. A guy that burst on the scene chucking his bat. And I don't know how much I talked about him versus Josh Donaldson and all the things with, because I was rooting for him. He was a batting champ playing shortstop. I was rooting for the guy, but he's got some off the field issues. Now he's got on the field issues. He could barely play for the Miami Marlins last year. Now he's signing a minor league deal with the Angels. He's going to be out of the league soon, but I don't want to put that evil out there on him. Hopefully he has a turnaround year with the Angels of Anaheim. I don't think Pete should go there. I don't think Pete should just willingly go there. Even if I don't see them giving him a 3-year deal. I think they're going to give him maybe a year, 2 year with an opt out and give him more money up front. I don't think you just go there to go there because, like, You're going to win with the Mets. Your legacy is with the Mets. You've only been a Met. The Mets have Juan Soto now that I know it's going to change the clubhouse. I know it's going to change the locker room. But he's going to bring so many more eyes, ears, and attention. Don't just be mad and burn a bridge. Like, it's sometimes it's not better to just leave to leave. It's better to figure it out. And if you take a loss on the money, that's on you, Pete. You had the down year after going to get Scott Boras. Who are you mad at? You could only be mad at yourself. 888-808-1019. Taking calls on this quarterback situation, on the NFL draft, talking about the Giants, still talking about Aaron Glenn and the Jets, still talking about all the little moves that have been made in the NFL. And when we come back, I'll play the audio from Ben Johnson, and you'll understand what I'm saying about these quarterbacks. And you already know if you watch the NFL or listen to The Fan. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's the most important thing. 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
And we're back. Thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan talking sports. Okay, now, Ben Johnson, who is the former offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions and now stays in division, says he wanted to stay in division, talked about how much he liked beating Matt LaFleur, leaning into the Bears-Packers rivalry, also talked about how the Bears are a sleeping giant. And then I saw a side-by-side where Dan Campbell said that Detroit was a sleeping giant. I want to play from his intro press conference what he had to say about Caleb Williams and the state of the quarterback in the NFL. I think it's very telling, and it'll lead me into what I'm going to say next. Go ahead, Fleegs.
The position. Modern football in the NFL is quarterback driven. That is no secret. You can look at analytics. Right now, quarterback success is a higher predictor of winning and losing than turnover ratio, which it's been for 20 plus years. Okay, that's changed. So there's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
I thought that was interesting. He leaves Jared Goff, who had 3 interceptions and a fumble in the last game. I thought that was interesting. They're not just going to put the Lions offense into the Bears system. They're going to develop a system around Caleb Williams and his strengths, what he did well in college, what he did his first year in the NFL. They did a disservice, the Bears, to him, having different play callers. They did not do that for him. So they go out and hire a head coach. And it's funny, too, because a week ago, some kids got Caleb Williams' number and prank text him, pretending to be Ben Johnson, and Caleb Williams answered. And then he went on Amon-Ra St. Brown's podcast, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver from the Lions, and explained it all. And then the kids FaceTimed Caleb Williams, and it was a whole gag, a whole joke, but it was kind of foreshadowing. Ben Johnson, also, I thought it was funny, he shunned the Commanders last year, citing that Josh Harris and Magic Johnson were football guys, and he didn't want to go there, kind of left them hanging, and they end up knocking him out with Jaden Daniels. With Jaden Daniels, who last year, tankathon.com, had a blue logo with an NY next to Jaden Daniels' name for a few weeks. There was a thought that Jaden Daniels, as he was rising up the ranks and as the Giants were losing, that the Giants could be picking 2-3 and potentially get him. And we all know that did not happen. Josh is in Lakewood. What's up, Josh? You're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Of course. First of all, I just want to, I fully agree with you. I think Drake clears Kendrick. I think Drake's a just much better rapper. He makes pop music. He makes R&B, does it all. And I think Kendrick is very overrated.
I like Kendrick, but like catalog-wise, music-wise, earnings-wise, when we look back 20 years from now, people don't care about the beef. Drake is going to stand the test of time. Kendrick will to some degree, but his catalog can't stand next to Drake's catalog.
Exactly. Also, what are your thoughts on Joe Milton from the Patriots for the Giants?
Oh, I left him out. I mean, one, I don't think that Joe Milton is going to get traded because he is an inexpensive backup and he's a talent, right? So, like, when you have an inexpensive backup that you drafted, I kind of look at it like the RG3 Kirk Cousins situation. When they drafted RG3 and had Kirk Cousins, they kept those two guys together and they let them both develop together. And then ultimately, RG3 gets hurt, and then you got Kirk Cousins playing in a playoff game. I think Vrabel, too, is smart enough to know that you need two quarterbacks in this league, and they got two young, athletic, potential stars.
Right, right. So now, if I was the Giants, if I could get my hands on Milton somehow, I would definitely go for that. I think there's a lot of potential there.
But yeah,
he could be a great quarterback.
What do I know? Maybe Vrabel is interested in some draft capital. Maybe they trade that second round pick. I think it would take a second or third round. I saw some people talking about a fifth or sixth. I'm like, nah, I think it's going to take a high pick for Joe Milton. I think there's just so much hype around him. Maybe not as high as a second, but there's so much hype around him based off of what he did in that last game. The guy's called Bazooka Joe. He's got a strong arm. I think he's like 6'4", 6'5", and I don't think New England is going to just let him go. Jacoby Brissett, they'll let go, and then Joe Milton will be the backup. Yeah, he's 6'5", 246.
Yeah, he's a freak. I mean, he's something else. It would be great if the Giants could somehow trade maybe a third for him or something like that. Also, regarding Pete Alonso, I think that as a Yankee fan, I think maybe it's better. I think Yankee fans should want Pete to resign, because if Pete does resign, then next year Steve Cohen should be out on the Vladdy sweepstakes, and that's someone that's then saying it'd be much easier for the Yankees to get Vladdy when you have Steve not involved. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think Vladdy wants to be a Yankee. I don't think the Yankees want him. I think the Yankees are setting themselves up for Munetaka Murakami. But unfortunately, it seems like there's a pipeline from Japan to Chavez Ravine, and they all want to be Dodgers because of Ohtani now. So maybe Munetaka Murakami is not a thing, but I think they would prefer him over Vladdy. And I think Vladdy has said so much about the Yankees. I just don't think he's going to be on their radar. And I think his relationship with Juan Soto, he's definitely on the Mets' radar.
Well,
Afford both. If the Mets sign Pete, the Mets signing Pete to a 3-year deal does not stop them from signing, you know, a max contract with Vladdy next year.
Right. I mean, also, I think Vladdy's also played some third. If Viandes doesn't work out, if they don't like the glove there, they could slide Viandes into the DH and maybe try to get Vlad to play third.
Vladdy is a couple cheeseburgers away from.
He's lost weight. He looked pretty good at them last year.
Oh, he did slim down a little bit. I don't want to make the cheeseburger joke on him. I just don't see him. He played all right at first base. I don't see him being a third baseman.
And Vientis, you see being a third baseman? I'm saying, he did not look great last year.
He had his mistakes.
Really not great.
He struggled, but I think, you know, working out with Lindor and another year at it, I don't know. I think Vladdy's a first baseman turned DH in a few years. Third base, I'm not sure how they figure out third base. If Vientos comes along, if Beatty figures it out, Ronnie Mauricio, somebody. But yeah, Vladdy did play third base. Let's see how many games. Vladdy in 2024 played 12 games at third base. I was going to say he's a couple cheeseburgers away from never seeing the hot corner again, but I won't do that to him. I won't. Mm-hmm. I won't do that to him.
Yeah. So what do you? I don't believe the Yankees are. I don't think this roster right now. Like, I don't think they're a World Series team. I think that Paul Goldschmidt has very little left in the tank. And if you got to start the year with Oswaldo or DJ at third, I just the lineup, I just don't see it. I don't see him taking down any of those NL teams like the Dodgers, the Padres, the Braves, the Phillies. I mean, maybe they can make it there because AL's weak. But
yeah, I was going to say, you don't think they're a World Series winning team, but they could make it there in the weak American League and be a World Series team. But no, I'm right there with you. And I know this won't be the team in the World Series. It'll be completely different. Like, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to come up from the minors. And then the trade deadline's going to come. And when you think about Jazz Chisholm and Mark Leiter Jr., those are the two additions at the trade deadline. They both came up big in the postseason. So I think that right now the Yankees, they're just stuck on Marcus Stroman, which sucks because it's like, how do we even end up with the Marcus Stroman contract? I was cool with it last year, but it was like they didn't get Blake Snell. They didn't want to bring back Jordan Montgomery. Garrett Cole got hurt. They needed pitching. Stroman was a guy that we thought would never be a Yankee too because of what he had said, similar to Vladdy, and it just worked out. But I kind of looked at it as like a two-year deal. Let's see what he does. First half, he was all right. Second half, typical, you know, second half from Stroman. And then in postseason, they didn't use him at all. Now they're stuck with that like $17, $18 million, and they're not going to do anything until they can get that off the books, which is like you have to move him and then try to bring in somebody to compete at third base. I was banging the drum for Key Brian Hayes last week, but I think they're going to stand pat because of where they're at.
What do you think? Like maybe bring in like a Miguel Andujar, maybe give him another shot. are you with that? I think you still have got some pop in that bat. I would maybe give him another run at it.
Miggy Two Bags, Miguel Andujar, Miggy Andu. Mm-hmm. I wish they worked on him, man, because now he can play left field, right? So if you think about the cast of characters that they had in left field, from obviously, you know, trading for Joey Gallo, Andrew Benintendi, signing or trading for also Verdugo, and then throwing guys out there like Oswaldo or IKF or even the Aaron Hicks saga, like, if you would have just gave Andujar a little bit more time, he could have been the left fielder. He's with the Sacramento A's. I don't think that they have any type of reunion. They love second tours, but I don't think that they do that with Andujar. Definitely not at third base.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good night. I love the show.
Thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019. I guess now I can open it up for the Yankees conversation. Shout out to the Yankees and Hot Stove, bringing my guy Dellin Betances in there. He was on Hot Stove. If you guys came out to the watch party for the ALDS against the Royals, Dellin pulled up. And Dellin is so solid, man. I just DM'd him like, yo, bro, doing a watch party. Can I connect you with WFAN? You know, your agent, whatever. We figure some stuff out. And he's like, yeah, I got you, of course. And, you know, he came out and hung out with everybody, took pictures and everything. And Dellin is everywhere, man. He's doing a lot of cool stuff, and he's so connected to CeCe. Like, I saw, I think it was the World Series. It was either World Series or American League Championship, and I was trying to get out of Dodge. So what game was it? It had to be the World Series. I think it was Game 3 of the World Series. I was trying to get out of Dodge, and I ran into CeCe and Dellin in the parking lot. And those two are thick as thieves. They're homies. And CeCe and Dellin, you know, they played together. CeCe always looked out for Dellin. And I'm glad that, you know, Dellin is still, you know, making his rounds. He's a New Yorker and he's a Yankee. And I'm super happy for CeCe and the Hall of Fame stuff. I'm like, I got to figure out how to get up to Cooperstown, man. I got to figure out how to get up there. I already ran it by the wife. She's like, it's too long. It's too far of a drive. Can't put my son in the car for that long at his age. He'll be two, but like he'll be a little bit older than two. It's too long. He can't be in the car for hours. He'll freak out, and it's not fun for everybody. But I would drive up there myself, and I think it'd be a lot easier for me to find somewhere to crash, somewhere to sleep with just me. So I'm putting that energy out there. Maybe somebody will connect me. I'm connected to CeCe in so many different ways and things. I'll have to figure it out because I would love to be there for CeCe, even Ichiro. I think this is a great year for the Hall of Fame, and I think there's not going to be that many more great years to come. I did see John Morosi say something about, you know, Andy Pettit and him being part of the group that votes for Andy Pettit and tries to move him along, but Andy Pettit gained 14.4% of the vote on this year's Hall of Fame ballot. These writers, man, they can hold these guys hostage. Total, he had 27.9%, 110 out of 394 ballots. And yeah, John Morosi's quote was, "I expect that I'm going to be part of this group that moves that number up from 27.9 next year." 888-808-1019. We'll open it up for Yankee calls in the next hour. But let's get one more call in on the Giants, on you know, who they're going to draft at quarterback or bring in at quarterback. All the way down in Louisiana. Jeff, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hi, Keith. This is Jeff. I really respect your broadcasting. I wanted your assessment on the degree of athleticism of Shedeur Sanders. I was excited to hear you describe that potentially he could fall to the third pick for the Giants. I'd be very excited for the Giants to draft him. But I have a very narrow base of seeing him play. I saw the playoff game against BYU. And, for instance, I remember a linebacker from BYU just running Shedeur Sanders down when Shedeur was running laterally right to left on the screen. And it's like, whoa, that's not good. You know,
he's not his dad. He's not as fleet of foot as his dad was at all.
I hear that. So that worried me a little bit, but I'd still, nevertheless, I've heard enough about him that I'd be very excited.
He's not slow. He doesn't have a piano on his back. When he makes up his mind to run straight, he can run and get that first down run straight. He's not shifty like Lamar Jackson. He's not shaking anybody. He's not making anybody miss. He's a straight line runner. Like when he decides he wants to tuck the ball and go, he's just going north and south. What I also like about his mobility is in the pocket. He's looking to throw. He's always looking downfield. And since he had, you know, a paper offensive line the last 2 years at Colorado, there was a lot of times where I saw him in the shotgun, get the snap, do his little footwork, spin out, and kind of run to green grass, set his feet, and throw. And he's gotten very good at that, but that doesn't translate to the NFL. Caleb Williams tried to do that in the NFL, the spin out and try and get to open grass. And what they find out quickly in the NFL is these defensive ends run 4-5, 4-4, they're on you. So he's not so much of a mobile quarterback. I think I was listening to the Francesa kids on when they filled in, and one of them said he's a scrambler. I'm like, he's not a scrambler at all. Like, he can't scramble. But what he does is evade the rush and kind of spin out to find open grass to throw the ball downfield. He's not a runner. He's a pocket passer. He's looking to throw the ball. And what I like about him is his accuracy, his precision with his passing, and I think he's got the knowledge upstairs because he's Deion Sanders' kid. So Deion Sanders, being his dad and his coach, he knows the X's and O's. He knows the defense. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what he's seeing out there.
And I can't help speculating, you know, that, or, you know, just fantasizing that if the Giants do get the chance to draft Sanders, maybe Deion comes as a quarterback coach down the road or something, you know, a few years out.
I don't know if he'd be a quarterback coach. I think they would. And you know, Mike Kafka's getting some interest elsewhere. I think Dable is enough of a quarterback coach, and Kafka. Deion is a DB defense coach and a head coach and still becoming. I think there's a lot of chatter about Deion coming with Shedeur, and I don't think that's going to happen. He's got a contract in Colorado. He's building in Colorado. If he didn't take an interview with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, he's not coming up here to do any coaching with the Giants. He's going to let his son be a man, and he knows the business of the NFL. He knows what it's like being drafted. He's gonna see his son off and obviously check on him and whatnot, but I don't think he plans on being on the sideline with Shedeur unless he can be his head coach.
I hear you. Do you have time for one more point?
Yes.
So I've tried to, in my mind, think, how do you objectify how strong a team is? And I thought, well, maybe what you do is you count the number of players you consider to be solid, not necessarily dominant players, but at least good players who you can win with. And, I started with the six rookies, and I thought, and I just started adding them up. And, for instance, Andrew Thomas at left tackle, the two Oakland guys, Olden Munor and John Runyon, et cetera. And I came up with about 16 in my mind's eye, players that are under contract for next year and that are good quality. I didn't count John Michael Schmitz, but, maybe you could count him.
16 out of 22 isn't bad. They have a little bit of money to play with. They have a top pick in all of these drafts to bring in more talent. The unfortunate thing is their strength of schedule, and in their division, their division is absolutely loaded. Thanks for the call, Jeff. 888-808-1019. We got to take a quick break. 1 hour to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.